Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, August 13th, 2023, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. We are in that great chapter that teaches one of the most important doctrines in the time in which we live. We live in the church age. Began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture. And this is a unique dispensation. And in this dispensation, we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which occurs at the moment of your faith in Christ, where God the Holy Spirit identifies you with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and in his resurrection, current positional truth. And here is a great, complete chapter teaching this phenomenal doctrine. Now, SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. One announcement before we get started. I'd like to remind you that this Saturday, August 19th at 10 a.m., the evangelism team from Upland will be going to the Boulder City Veterans Home presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And therefore, I encourage you in your prayers to pray that God would draw by his hand of grace all the people who are supposed to be there, prepare their hearts. Pray for the evangelism team, that they would be channels of God's grace, tools in his hands to be used by him. Pray that the grace gospel will be given clearly and accurately, and that as a result of this, many sons might be brought into glory. Once again, that is this Saturday, August 19th at 10 a.m. All right? Romans chapter 6, the great chapter on the baptism of the Spirit. Let's start at Romans 6, verse 1, corrected translation. Therefore, what are we to say, or what are we to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Meganoita, emphatically not. We who have died to the sin nature, the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, how can we live by the power of the sin nature any longer? Or are you ignorant? Sad to say, many of them were. Or are you ignorant? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, the baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into his death, retroactive positional truth? Therefore, we have been buried together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, again, the baptism of the Spirit, into death, for the purpose that just as Christ was raised out from the dead, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, by means of the glory, the omnipotence of the Father, God the Father, so also we, royal family of God, might live in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have become intimately united with him in the likeness of his death, first class condition, and we have through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, then certainly we shall also be intimately united with him in the likeness of his resurrection, the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. Now, that brings us to Romans 6, verses 6 through 8, where we have the implications of retroactive and current positional truth. In Romans 6, verses 6 and 7, we have the implications of retroactive positional truth. In Romans 6, 8, we have the implications of current positional truth. So first of all, the implications of retroactive positional truth, Romans 6, verses 6 and 7. We just barely got started on Romans 6, verse 6. It starts out and says, knowing this. And this is the present active participle of the verb gnosko plus the accusative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos. Now, the verb gnosko means to know or to come to know. It also can mean to perceive or to realize and to comprehend. Gnosko denotes here intelligent comprehension. Gnosko means to know from reflection on true doctrinal principles. Gnosko in our verse means to know from reflection on the doctrines of retroactive positional truth and current positional truth. The present tense of the verb is linear action start, and that is keep on reflecting on these doctrines. The active voice, the believer consistently and faithfully learning and believing the Word of God about the baptism of the Spirit, positional truth, retroactive positional truth, current positional truth, performs the action of the verb. The participle is circumstantial attendant circumstance. And that's a very important, it may not be important to you when you hear it or you don't understand it, but this is really good stuff for a fellow who has the gift of pastor teacher and went to Dallas Seminary. I had one of the best Greek professors you could ever have, Phil Williams. And he had developed his, especially called them his yellow pages. And his yellow pages, he explained the use of every verse, every tense, every case in the nouns, every tense in the verbs, and participles and infinitives. He had it all out for us. And I tell you what, that is the best of the best of the best for any man with the gift of pastor teacher studying the Word of God. And we went, I took every class I could from Dr. Williams, every class. And we always went through a book of the Bible and exegeted, and he would always have every verse, all right, I want you to tell me what kind of aorist tense this is, what kind of present tense this is. I want you to tell me what kind of genitive this is. There are 26 different kinds of genitives. What kind of genitive is this? And we did that over and over and over. When we first started out, we were always wrong. But after 4 years, 4 years of repetition, 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 by the end of 4 years, we were, well, I don't know about we, I don't know about everybody else, but nailed it, nailed it. Nailed it. And that for me in the ministry, that was the greatest preparation ever. And this is a participle, circumstantial, attendant circumstance, having the same force as the main verbs. And the main verbs are back in verse 5, genomai and ami. In verse 5, we have genomai, become intimately united with him in the likeness of his death, and we shall, ami, also be intimately united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. Those are the main verbs. The main verbs are in the indicative mood. Now we have this circumstantial participle of attendant circumstance has the very same force as the main verbs. And so in verse 6, we translate it, and we keep on knowing this participle, circumstantial, attendant circumstance. This is houtos. That's the near demonstrative pronoun. It refers to what follows in the context. So far in corrected translation, and keep on knowing this. Keep on reflecting on these doctrines about the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth. And then it goes on and says that our old man is crucified with him. This is the conjunction hati plus the nominative singular of anthropos with the definite article plus the adjective palaios with the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the aorist passive indicative of the verb sustorao. Now, we have hati, and for those of you who are consistently assembling in this local church, you know, I know hati, that's a causal conjunction, means because. Well, many times it is a causal conjunction, but not here. When hati follows verbs of dicendi, like knowing, thinking, saying, and what is gnosko? Knowing. So that's a verb of dicendi. After verbs of dicendi, hati introduces an object clause, and therefore it's correctly translated that. And then we have the personal pronoun ego. E-G long O, ego. And this, in the genitive, you translate it our. The genitive case is the genitive of possession. The old sin nature belongs to us. Every member of the human race has a sin nature. We have possessed this sin nature from the moment that we were born, from physical birth. At that point of physical birth, we came into the world physically alive, but spiritually dead. We all have a sin nature, and it resides in our body. So, what is the name of this sin nature in this passage? Ha palaios anthropos, the old man. So the old sin nature has a name here, the old man, the sin nature. A couple of things. One, that phrase, ha palaios anthropos, the old man, is the sin nature. the sin nature that is residing in our human body. So I'm looking out here at you and I see a lot of bodies. I can't see your sin nature, but I know you have one. And a lot of you come in here and you have, you know, you adjusted your halo as you came in and made it look like, you know, you don't have a sin nature. But you all do. And believe it or not, even Pastor Olson has a sin nature. I know it's hard for you to believe that. But even I have a sin nature. We all do. And it resides in our body. And it's called here, ha palaios anthropos, the old man. So the old man is the sin nature that's living inside our human body, too. It's called old because it's been in existence a very, very long time. Where did it start? All the way back with Adam in the garden. That's where it started. So it's been around a long time. So it's the old man. The sin nature is the old man. Three, the sin nature has been in existence from the fall of man in the garden. From that time, from the fall of man in the garden, all the way to 2023, the old sin nature has been in existence. That's why it has this title, the old man. It has been in existence at least. Now, I know if you've been watch any science shows and that, millions and millions of years. Now, at least 6,000 years. All right, then we have the verb susterao. Looks like that in the Greek, S-U-S-T-A-U-R, O, long O, susterao. Now, this is a very important verb here, so let's get a few things on this. First of all, it's a compound word. Susterao is a compound word made up of the preposition soon, which means with, and the verb storao, which means, that's S-T-A-U-R-O, long, which means to crucify. That's the verb to crucify. So it's a compound word made up of the preposition soon plus the verb storao, to crucify. So point two, literally, it means to crucify together with someone. To crucify together with someone. Literally, it included being nailed to the cross with one or more persons. Three, figuratively, which is how it's used in our verse, it refers to that point in time when someone believes in Jesus Christ. Figuratively, it refers to that point in time when someone believes in Jesus Christ. He is susterao'd. He is crucified with Christ. He is crucified with Christ. Four, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he is identified with Christ in his death and burial. Retroactive positional truth. And that occurs at the very moment you believe in Jesus Christ. So at that moment you placed your faith in Christ. You didn't realize what was going on, but God the Holy Spirit identified you with Christ in his death and burial. Retroactive positional truth, and then the Holy Spirit identified you with his resurrection, current positional truth, and entered you in union with Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of God the Father. So through the baptism of the Spirit, he is identified with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing retroactive positional truth, being crucified with Christ, identified with Christ in his death and burial in its entirety. The passive voice is the voice of grace. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the believer receives the action of retroactive positional truth, being identified with Christ in his death and burial. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of the Word of God. So again, point four, through the baptism of the Spirit, he is identified with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, at that very moment that you believed in Jesus Christ. Five, through retroactive positional truth, the believer is positionally freed from the tyranny of the sin nature's rule over human life. Wahoo! Through retroactive positional truth, the believer is positionally freed from the tyranny of the sin nature's rule over human life. Six. Therefore, now, experientially, by living the spiritual life, by the power of the Spirit of God, that's why we're given the mandate. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered in your life by the Spirit of God. Keep on walking by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. So therefore, now experientially, by living the spiritual life God has given for us in the church age, by the power of the filling of the Spirit, now you have the experiential freedom. The experiential freedom to glorify God in your life. That's why we're here. Why are we here? We're here to glorify God. And God did all of this for us in grace. It happened at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. You didn't know you were, the Holy Spirit identified you with Christ in his death and burial at that moment. You didn't know that he identified with you in his resurrection, current positional truth. But you come to learn those things after your faith in Christ. You find a sound Bible teaching church. You start growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And then you learn these fantastic truths and principles in the Word of God. And as you learn those things, why, then that opens up the door. Now you can live the unique spiritual life God has given us, and now you can glorify God. In the short, we're not here a very long time. We're here a very short time. This isn't our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. But we're here a short time. What is God's plan for us while we're here? To glorify Him. To glorify God. You're here to glorify God. And you can do that thanks to this grace provision of retroactive, current positional truth, the baptism of the Spirit, identified with Christ in His death and burial. You're free from slavery to the sin nature positionally. And current positional truth, you're in a union with Christ so that you can live in newness of life. And you have now, through the power of the Spirit of God, to live this spiritual life and glorify God. So therefore, now experientially, by living the spiritual life, by the power of God the Holy Spirit, you have the experiential freedom to glorify God. Seven, God the Holy Spirit has broken the power of the sin nature through the baptism of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit has broken the power of the sin nature through the baptism of the Spirit. That's retroactive positional truth. Being identified with Christ in his death and burial, and current positional truth, being identified with Christ in his resurrection. His resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father. So God the Holy Spirit has broken the power of the sin nature through the baptism of the Spirit. 8. Therefore, positionally, the believer is free. Free from that slavery to the sin nature. Positionally, the believer is free from that slavery to the sin nature. Now you'll notice also on the end of this verb, get back to here, on the end of the verb, you see this? That's called the a-o ending. Now, you won't learn about this till about the fourth year in taking Greek at a seminary like Dallas Theological Seminary. The a-o ending is causative. The believer in Jesus Christ is caused to be crucified with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. That's the a-o ending. It's causative. The believer in Christ is caused to be crucified with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth. So, our verse now sounds like this. And keep on knowing this, that our old man, the sin nature, has been crucified together with him, Jesus Christ. Retroactive positional truth. You get that? Let me give it to you again. And keep on knowing this, that our old man, the sin nature, that we all have had from the time that we were born, physical birth, that our old man has been crucified together with him, Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth. Now, the rest of our verse, we have two purposes of this retroactive positional truth. Two purposes. Purpose number one of retroactive positional truth is the phrase that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's the King James. We always start with the King James. You know, I had one fellow when Billy Graham was here in Las Vegas. He came here a few times, and many people in our church were a part of following up all of the people that came forward. And I followed up several people that expressed their faith in Jesus Christ. And when I went to this one fellow's apartment and sat down, I pulled out a Bible. And when I pulled out this Bible, he said, "What kind of Bible do you have there?" And I said, "Well, it's the NASV." He goes, "Oh, no, only King James Version. If it's good enough for Christ or Paul, it's good enough for me." I said, "Well, I better get a King James Version now." That the body of sin might be destroyed. That's purpose number one of retroactive positional truth. This is hina plus the aorist passive subjunctive of katargeo plus the nominative singular of soma with a definite article plus the genitive singular of hamartia with a definite article. Now, hina plus the subjunctive. H-I-N-A, hina plus the subjunctive, introduces a purpose clause, and you can translate it, for the purpose that. And this is purpose number one of retroactive positional truth. Purpose number one is that the sin nature might be rendered powerless. Purpose number one. That the sin nature might be rendered powerless. And then we have tasoma. And the soma, that's S long O M A. Soma is the word body. And it's called here the body of sin. That's another title for the sin nature. So the old man is a title for the sin nature. The body of sin is a title of the sin nature. And the word sin is hamartia in the singular. And that's important. Hamartia. Now that's the word translated sin in your Bibles. When it's in the plural, it refers to the personal sins that we commit. It's not in the plural. It's in the singular. And when it's in the singular, then many, many times it refers to the sin nature. That's what it refers to here. So the body of sin is a reference specifically to the sin nature. And then we have the verb katargeo. K-A-T-A-R-G-E long O. Katargeo. Now, katargeo means to make ineffective, to render useless, to render inoperative, to make powerless. That's katargeo. It does not mean destroyed, as the King James translators have it. It means to make ineffective, to render useless, to render inoperative, to make powerless. The aorist tense is a culminative aorist. The culmination of being crucified with Christ, retroactive positional truth, is for the purpose that the sin nature might be rendered powerless. The passive voice, the sin nature receives the action of being rendered powerless through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, being identified with Christ in his death and burial. The subjunctive mood goes along with hina to introduce this purpose clause. Purpose number one of retroactive positional truth. So the corrected translation of verse 6 now sounds like this. And keep on knowing this, that our old man, the sin nature, has been crucified together with him, Jesus Christ. Retroactive positional truth. For the purpose that, purpose number one of retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that the body of sin, the sin nature, might be rendered powerless. So purpose number one, retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that the body of sin, the sin nature, might be rendered powerless. Now the next phrase, next clause, is purpose number two. Purpose number two of retroactive positional truth. That henceforth we should not serve sin. This is the articular present active infinitive of the verb duleo with the adverb makati plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the dative singular, again singular of hamartia with the definite article. Now we have the verb duleo. That's D-O-U-L-E-U long O, duleo. Now from this verb we get the Greek noun doulos, and a doulos is a slave. And in the time that the Apostle Paul was living and writing, there were many, many slaves in the Roman Empire, and some of the first converts to Jesus Christ in the church age were slaves who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the local churches in the ancient world had many, many slaves who placed their faith in Jesus Christ. That's the word doulos. This is duleo, the verb that doulos comes from. Now, one, literally, duleo means to be a slave. It means to be a slave. It means to serve as a slave. It means to obey as a slave. So that's its literal meaning. It means to be a slave, serve as a slave, obey as a slave. Two, figuratively, which is what we have, it means to be a slave to the sin nature. Figuratively, which is what we have, it means to be a slave to the sin nature. Now, we all have this sin nature. He lives inside of us. The old man, the body of sin. We all have this sin nature from physical birth. And figuratively, it means to be a slave to the sin nature. Now, but it's modified, point three, it's modified by the adverb makati. M long E K E T I. Makati. And makati means no longer. No longer. And the adverb modifies the verb, like the adjective modifies the noun. The adverb modifies the verb. No longer. The articular infinitive introduces a purpose clause. This introduces purpose number two of being crucified together with Christ, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial through the baptism of the Spirit. So here is purpose number two. The articular infinitive introduces purpose number two. Four, purpose number two of retroactive positional truth is that positionally the believer is free. Free from slavery to the sin nature. Wahoo. Now, I don't know if any of you watched the movie IQ. I like that movie IQ. And Albert Einstein is played in that movie. And he gets on a motorcycle and goes for a ride. And he goes up in the air. And it was so much fun. Albert Einstein said, wahoo. So I kind of like that. I've incorporated that now. And I have wahoos whenever I see. When I'm studying, I have a lot of wahoos. So the purpose number two of retroactive positional truth is that positionally the believer is free from slavery to the sin nature. The accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego is the accusative of general reference, and that means it serves as the subject of the infinitive. Hamartia once again is in the singular, and once again refers to the sin nature. So the corrected translation of verse 6 now sounds like this. And keep on knowing this, that our old man, the sin nature, has been crucified together with him, Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that, purpose number one of retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that the body of sin, the sin nature, might be rendered powerless. And then we have purpose number two of retroactive positional truth, so that we should no longer be slaves to the sin nature. All right. One. Now, isn't that great when you get it all exegeted? It is so clear. I don't know, I look at some of you, and for some of you it's about as clear as mud, it looks like. But it's clear to me. I think this makes it. This is awesome. This is wahoo. One, the human body is the throne for the sin nature. We all have a sin nature. We have it from physical birth. We are born physically alive, spiritually dead. We have this sin nature residing in our body. The throne for this sin nature is our human body. Two, the sin nature rules human life through spiritual death from its throne in the human body. The old sin nature rules human life through spiritual death from its throne in the human body. Now we study Romans 5:12, the very important verse. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin, it's in the singular, the sin nature, entered into the world, and spiritual death through the sin nature, so spiritual death spread to the entire human race because all sinned when Adam sinned. Romans 5:12. So the old sin nature rules human life through spiritual death through its throne in the human body. 3. The old sin nature's location in the human body explains why at salvation, at that moment of faith in Christ, we are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. We are indwelt in our body by God the Holy Spirit. So the old sin nature's location, where is it in our human body, explains why at salvation, in the church age, we have the universal indwelling of the Spirit in the body of every single believer. Now again, I can see your body, but I can't see inside. But you all have in your body the indwelling of the Spirit of God, which makes your body a temple for the indwelling of Jesus Christ and God the Father. You have the Father, Son, and Spirit living inside of you. I can't see that, but it's true of all of you. So the old sin nature's location in the human body explains why the Holy Spirit indwells our body at salvation. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6, let's start at verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, indwelling you? At the moment of your faith in Christ, we are all indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, and that indwelling of the Spirit makes our body a temple. There are no sacred buildings in the church age. In the age of Israel, there was. There was the tabernacle and temple. But there are no sacred buildings in the church age. But your body has been made a temple by God the Holy Spirit. And why did He make our body a temple? So that also the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ and God the Father, could dwell in our body as well. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Honor God with your body. So point 4, the Holy Spirit indwells our body at salvation because the sin nature also resides there. The Holy Spirit indwells our body at salvation, faith in Christ, because the sin nature also resides there. 5, and the Bible tells us that there is a war going on inside of you between God the Holy Spirit and the sin nature to see who is going to control your soul. The Bible tells us there's a war going on inside of you between God the Holy Spirit and the sin nature to see who is going to control your soul. Turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit. That is, live your life by the power of the Spirit of God. And then, when you do that, you will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, what is contrary to the sin nature. And then Paul says, they are at war with each other. God the Holy Spirit, the sin nature are at war with each other so that you do not do what you want. So here we are. We had the old sin nature in here from the moment of our physical birth. But then spiritual birth took place. We placed our faith in Christ. Now God the Holy Spirit indwells us. And now there's a war going on. Who's going to control your life? Who are you going to? And it's up to you. You have a free will. Is it going to be God the Holy Spirit that controls you through the filling of the Spirit and walking by the Spirit? Or is it going to be the sin nature that controls you through your sin? And when you sin, now you grieve the Holy Spirit and quench the Holy Spirit. Now the sin nature controls your life. So we got this war going on. But you decide. You have a free will. That's the guardian of your soul. The sin nature is in your body and keeps sending up all these temptations for you to sin. Temptation after temptation after temptation. All from different categories of lusts, because the sin nature is made up of all these lust patterns. And they come up and to tempt you. But you have a guardian of your soul, your free will. All you have to do is say no. All you have to do is say no and stay filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and live your life by the Spirit of God. And when you live your life by the power of the Spirit of God, that's when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and you will glorify God in your life. That's why we're here. All right? Well, I'm going to leave you with that to take a break. We'll take a break. And in a few minutes, we'll come back for part two. But meanwhile, you can concentrate on the war going on inside you. All right?